Our family.
Our family.
Our family.
Our family.
Hello and welcome to Our Family, the series of podcasts brought to you by the Harlisi Fertility Clinic. This is the second part of Divya's podcast about her IVF journey. In part one of the podcast, Divya spoke about a previous miscarriage, choosing Harlisi Fertility Clinic, fertility tests, egg collection and treatment. In today's podcast, Divya will talk about the embryo transfer, meeting our patient Daisy, the 2-week wait, and about our team.
So you spoke about the blastocyst, only one making it, one out of 8.
Yep, that's right, which was a bit of a shocker for us. And I think if anybody undergoing IVF was to ask me, how on earth could that happen? How did you feel? We were shocked that that's what could happen. But when you think about it, life being created is something so incredibly complicated that that researchers are still learning about it every single day. The fact that we got, you know, one blastocyst out of 8 may have seemed quite sad. It did feel sad. You learn as the journey goes. You learn to try and manage your expectations, and it's a constant tightrope of not giving up hope, trying to understand what happens and why things may not work out the way you hope they do, why it may not be as bad as you think, or in some cases, when you do need to speak with Dr. Venkat or the embryologist or the nursing team. And they were very patient in terms of answering questions we had. And that's one thing I have to thank the embryology team for. No question was too silly or too small. And that's the way everyone at the clinic is. When we started the next stage of treatment, we knew that I had high NK cells and I was prone to clots and that I needed the metabolically active form of folic acid. So in the run-up to embryo transfer, I was prescribed steroids. I was also prescribed heparin to thin my blood, because if implantation is successful and if somebody is prone to blood clots, a blood clot could potentially get stuck in the placenta and could cause, as it's developing, and could cause a miscarriage or implantation failure. And the steroids were to try and calm my immune system down. And I was also put on weekly intralipid infusions in the run-up to transfer. So as you can imagine, the run-up to embryo transfer was incredibly busy. There were a lot of appointments. There were lots of medications. But the team were absolutely wonderful in helping me to get through it.
So when was the embryo transfer?
A bit of a bittersweet day for me. It was actually on Christmas Eve again. And believe it or not, the time was almost the exact time that I had to call the paramedics 1 year ago. When you're undergoing treatment in a highly complicated, incredibly specialized and advanced field like fertility, you realize that there's a lot of science, a lot of facts to get your head around. And when things like that happen, you do think maybe there is something else. I mean, what were the odds that my day was on Christmas Eve? And we got to transfer day, not without a little bit of a challenge before that, because it turned out that my lining was a bit slow to develop. And you need a good lining for the embryo to hopefully implant successfully, make itself at home. And in my case, despite the estrogen tablets and the patches that I was having, things were taking their own sweet time. Dr. Venkat and Tanya reviewed my case and felt that I could benefit from Neupogen, which is a wash that's put into your womb to try and encourage the lining to grow a little bit thicker. We got there just in the nick of time, and come Christmas Eve, we got to transfer day. My husband and I were very, very excited. We were very nervous as well. Believe it or not, it was quite a family effort, because the dog actually came with us.
Oh.
So while my husband was walking the dog around Regent's Park, because we were advised by the clinic that as things were incredibly busy in the run-up to Christmas, keeping social distance in the waiting room might prove a challenge. This was the best way of getting around it. My husband was quite understandably excited and nervous, and I'd like to think that walking the dog around the park took his mind off it. When my turn came, it was over before I knew it. It was very, very quick. I was always checked on to make sure that I was okay, that I was comfortable, and it was such a joy to see Rachel and Margarita there. Tanya was in theatre with Dr. Venkat. We were all hoping for the best, and I decided as I walked into theatre that irrespective of the outcome, this was a very precious, very longed for life, and it deserved a name and not a serial number. So I asked if we could call our embryo Peanut,
yeah.
Given that at that stage we didn't know if it was going to be male or female. So it was my way of trying to say, welcome to the world, we've been waiting. And, then, of course, came the two-week wait, which a lot of couples undergoing IVF will say is probably the longest 2 weeks of their lives. And we kept ourselves as busy as we could. It was very sad that we couldn't see our families at Christmas, especially since they'd been so supportive of us on this journey and were rooting for us, keeping fingers and toes crossed. But understandably, it was important for me to rest as much as possible because I was on quite a few medications. Some of them had their doses increased, so I was quite tired. And obviously, it was important to save my strength, especially now that Peanut had been put back.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept ourselves busy with Christmas dinner and did the little things, went for walks in the park, watched films, and we tried to make sure that everyday life was as normal as possible. Although, let's be honest, there's nothing normal about living through a pandemic or going through IVF in the middle of a pandemic or just going through IVF.
Our family.
Our family.
So I understand you spoke with Daisy as well.
Yes, I did. So as part of my journey, Dr. Venkat very kindly put me in touch with Daisy, and reading about her story on the clinic website, it really got to me, because so much of what she had experienced were things that I had experienced, albeit 10 years ago. What a terrifying thought, saying that 10 years ago. But like Daisy, when I was diagnosed with endometriosis, it was already in a very advanced stage. Not many people believed me when I said I was in terrible agony. Periods were absolute torture. And what was so heartwarming and hope-giving to me was that Daisy was able to seek fertility treatment much earlier on than I was. And because she came to the right clinic at the right time, as challenging and grueling as I'm sure she as she told me was the fact that she now has hope. That was something really inspiring to me, that she could go through so much at such an early age. The entire team at the clinic were incredibly supportive. I did have a couple of sessions of acupuncture in the run-up to egg collection and in the aftermath, because I had a lot of stomach upsets and digestive issues, possibly from all of the scarring after the multiple surgeries I had for endometriosis and the stimulation drugs causing fluid retention, and anything hormonal will, you know, disrupt your body in some way. And having the acupuncture for me certainly helped ease a lot of the symptoms, and it also helped to manage my stress levels at the time. Because as you can imagine, in the run-up to egg collection, a lot of women will experience abdominal bloating, abdominal pain, fluid retention, some more so than others. And because of the scarring I had, it was particularly painful. And Karis was so kind and calm and very patient. And she took the time to understand me as a whole, rather than just a case in an isolated moment in time. She really has a wonderful gift for listening to you and to really empathize with what you're experiencing. And as for the nursing team at the clinic, I couldn't have been in better hands. Adrian was absolutely brilliant teaching me how to use my injections. Rachel was wonderful and very organized in terms of making sure that I never ran out of any tablets, and also checking in with me to see how I was getting on with some of the medication. And Margarita is absolutely lovely. They all are. And it was always nice to just feel like a person and feel like me chatting to them, even though I'd obviously come into the clinic for very specialist medical treatment. But talking to them whenever I came in for my appointments actually took my mind off a lot of the actual treatment procedures. And I think it's so important to have that confidence and that bond with your care team on a journey like this, because let's be honest, IVF for anybody, no matter how relatively straightforward or challenging your case is, it's an incredible roller coaster. And, you know, there are lots of unknowns, and obviously everybody hopes that it will work. There's every chance that it might not. And to know that you're in safe hands and that you're with a team who cares about you as a person and not just as a patient makes a huge difference.
This is the end of today's podcast. In the third and last part, Divya will talk about the results, the grief, and the healing. Podcast by Delia Coyle.